From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. As the Oakland Police Department deals with several scandals, including a sexual misconduct case involving several of its officers, the City Council meets today to decide whether to put the creation of a police oversight commission on the November ballot. Coming up in the hour ahead, we'll talk about what's at stake for law enforcement and police community relations. But first, we'll check in with KQED reporter Marisa Lagos from the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. And we invite you to join us here on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. We're going to be spending most of this hour talking about a proposal for a police oversight commission in Oakland, which the City Council is set to vote on today. But first, we want to get an update on the Democratic Convention with KQED reporter Marisa Lagos, who is in Philadelphia. And welcome, Marisa. Good morning.
Good morning.
I still want to call you Marisa for some reason. And it is Marisa. Let's begin. I want to call you Marisa, but I'm going to call you Marisa.
It's easier to say, I hear.
Well, we had an intern for a long time named Marisa. That's my excuse. But I really want to get into what you're observing there and what's going on, particularly in terms of the call for unity. Last night, Bernie Sanders gave a speech, and it certainly rallied the troops. There was a lot of tears while he was speaking, a lot of sustained applause, the likes of which I haven't heard in many, many years. Are they coming around, the Sanders supporters?
You know, it's kind of hard to tell still. I think that, and I think it really depends on who you talk to. I think that for a lot of folks who are here, they're still not convinced. I talked to a nurse this morning, Katie Romer, who I had profiled on Monday, and, you know, she said she felt like we're hearing a lot of fear about Donald Trump and beating him, but not a lot of sort of inspiration about why Clinton should be the nominee. I would disagree with her slightly. I do think that Bernie Sanders last night and then again this morning when he came in a surprise appearance before the California delegation, he did talk about kind of the similarities between he and Clinton and the policies that she has really embraced and the party's embraced because of his progressive supporters' push for those issues. And, you know,
yeah, he's been saying the political revolution is moving on and we've got much more on the platform than we ever expected. So from that perspective, certainly he's trying to really call for unity. But what happened at the California delegation this morning? How was he received?
I mean, he was received very well by everybody, I would say, but especially, obviously, his supporters. Yesterday, we saw everybody kind of staying in their seats and a lot of boos and jeers when any time Clinton or Senator Tim Kaine was mentioned, who is her running mate, obviously. Today, I mean, everybody rushed the stage. Everybody's cameras were out. It was like a rock star, basically. I mean, interesting. And, you know, we still heard some boos when he talked about Clinton, but these are people who are rabid Bernie supporters, and they were really excited to see him up close and personal. And I think that came through. And he gave a very similar speech to what he did last night, but he did stress how important California is. And I think he was really there to try to tamp down, you know, some of the anger that we've seen and that we saw throughout the day on Monday.
Marisa, I'm going to have to say goodbye to you. We've got a bad line here, but I know we're going to continue to have your We're going to continue to have your reportage, and we appreciate it and are grateful for it. And we thank you for joining us this morning. We'll get more, of course, on the convention. The assessment seems to be at least sorry, I didn't have an opportunity to talk to her about that, but that Michelle Obama's speech went over very well. It's getting all kinds of raves, and it's the only speech that apparently Donald Trump did not trash in tweeting. I want to go now to a whole other subject that we did promise you we would take up in this hour. And let me begin by saying that the Oakland City Council will vote later today, and they're going to vote on whether to put the establishment of a police oversight commission on the November ballot. This measure comes in response to a number of scandals within the Oakland Police Department, the most recent being the sexual misconduct case, which involved several officers and the teenage daughter of a police dispatcher. Supporters say the proposed panel will have strong oversight powers, but some are arguing that last-minute changes may to the ballot measure have weakened the commission's independence. And we're going to talk about it with a panel that we have assembled here. And let me tell you who is joining us. right in here in the studio this morning. Sandhya Dirks is a reporter for KQED. She's been following and been on top of the story. And Sandhya, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Good to be here, Michael.
I also want to welcome Noel Gallo, who is Oakland City Council member, District 5.
Good morning,
Council member.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And Pamela Drake is also with us in studio this morning. She's a member of the steering committee of the Coalition for Police Accountability. And welcome to you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to have you all aboard. And Sandhya, let me begin with you. What is actually going before the city council? I mean, this has gone through mutations. It's gone through watering down, all kinds of morphing. What are we going to actually have before the council?
Well, Councilmember Gallo probably has the answer to that even a little bit better than I do. But I do know that as of a meeting that the council had on Friday, there have been some changes to this plan for the police commission that have maybe not rendered it toothless, but have certainly, critics say, dulled it somewhat. And part of that is in, things, for example, the mayor will have the ability to appoint 3 out of the 7 members of the police commission, which is something that people had said might compromise its independence. On the other hand, they will have their own lawyer, which is something that police accountability advocates say is kind of a win for them. On the other hand, they won't be able to have access to the personnel records of police officers, which has caused some concern about whether they can actually really impact and affect their job. And then they also won't be able to sort of implement policy. They'll be able to approve or reject policy in a certain kind of subset of police issues. But, you know, finally, one of the big wins that advocates for police accountability are seeing in this is the ability to hire and fire with a unanimous vote the police chief. So it's kind of a compromise.
Well, where does the Oakland Police Officers Association stand on this? We invited them to join us. We did not receive a response from them, but I know the Sergeant Barry Donnellan, who's president of the organization, put out a letter before this new version of it. And essentially what he said in the letter was, respect us and you're disdaining us. But he also talked a lot about politicizing this. And are they still seeing this as largely political?
I think that they, from what he said at city council meetings, definitely seeing it as political and also just opposed to, opposed to this version of civilian oversight. That's traditionally how police unions have been. They want to kind of keep things going in the way that they have done things in-house. But, you know, that's this larger conversation we're having in America today about who should police the police and whether we need to bring civilian oversight as a new way in which to reform, certain things that are, some say, broken or at least compromised in policing. So the police union is still very much opposed to a lot of what's going on. In fact, one of the reasons that these compromises had to be eked out was the threat of a lawsuit from the OPOA, that's the Oakland Police Officers Association, and that's what led to the city council going into that special meeting and having to kind of make these last-minute changes.
Well, let's talk about those changes with Noel Gallo, who's here with us in studio, also Oakland City Council member from District 5. And before we do that, Supervisor, is it safe to say that a lot of the impetus to this was obviously the sexual misconduct case, but there's a real history. We go back to being under federal court oversight.
Right. You're absolutely right. And I think that, you know, the initiative where we are today is clearly defined. And so but before I begin, I have to make it very clear that this is a citizen's initiative. It's driven by citizens of Oakland that for many years have experienced, discipline issues, profiling issues within a law enforcement department, the police department. So I respect that. We've been at this now for 3-4 years. It's not the first time around. But I will say that we have the Central Labor Council. We have other unions that have signed on to the issue. Even as of yesterday, we received a letter from the Oakland Police Department through their attorneys, clearly defining their role. So the whole issue has been really about the memorandum of understanding we have with the union, that we have a contract for three years. And I think that's been the center of debate, the arbitration issues, the other legality issues. But I will say there's a great need for a citizens oversight commission dealing with our police discipline, our police policies, public safety as a whole, and I support an independent citizens police commission completely. It's not a new commission or procedure. San Francisco has a police commission, New York City, Chicago, Honolulu, and other localities that have an established police commission. It's not a perfect vehicle, but what I do applaud and support that allows the residents of Oakland to be able to serve and to be able to hear directly the complaints and concerns directly from the citizens. And I think that, you know, you have the mayor in support, and I agree in terms of how many. And I would have supported not having any political representation.
Let's get to that, because the mayor gets to appoint three, as I understand it.
Right.
And the others would be appointed a selection committee, but the selection committee also has appointments by the mayor. So this does get into some pretty heavy political waters for many people.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, the city council has full authority and approval of all the commission members to serve, all seven. So anything that's presented by the police commission in terms of policy direction, the city council has to approve those changes when it comes to policy. And we will remove the administrator from having the final say on discipline matters. And so the commission does have some authority and power to recommend not only policy direction, but also hear directly from citizens, make recommendations. We will have the investigators, the attorneys present. And most of all, we're looking for members to serve on the commission that have a background in law enforcement. They cannot be Oakland Police Department current or previous OPD officers, or they cannot be current employees within the city of Oakland. So we are looking for people with a background in law enforcement, public safety, but most of all, the understanding that we need to be sensitive and respond to the many issues in Oakland when it comes to public safety and address the immediate needs of our citizens. And those are my neighbors in the Fruitvale area. That certainly for us growing up here in Oakland, we have a lack of trust, confidence in terms of the public safety that's occurring on the streets. And I don't have to tell you why we have that, because if you look at the shootings, the killings, the robberies, and certainly in East Oakland, it's...
Black Lives Matter came out with a statement earlier today that there ought to be something on the Democratic Party platform about over-policing. There is concern both in the black community, particularly about not enough police on the one hand, but then you have this question about over-policing. I'm not sure what over-policing means, but Sandia Dirks, can I get you to comment on that? And we'll hear from Pamela Drake. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it's a kind of a larger critique that we rely on police to solve too many problems, that we're relying on police. You know, in Oakland, there's sort of those who make the argument that one of the reasons that this sexual abuse scandal went forward was that we were asking police to deal with traffic victims, and they're really maybe not the right people to do that.
They shouldn't be social workers is the argument.
Basically. I mean, there's a whole movement. August 2nd is the National Night Out, which are these block parties that are held with police officers across the city. There's actually a side movement of that that's being run by the Ella Baker Center, which is the National Night Out for Safety and Liberation, where they say, you know, community policing shouldn't be the way we do this. We should be policing our own communities as part of being part of a neighborhood and belonging somewhere rather than relying on the police. So this is a longstanding critique of law enforcement as having such a powerful role in doing sort of things that maybe they shouldn't be doing and that we should have social workers doing or that we should have hospitals and doctors doing.
Pamela Drake is also with us here in studio this morning. She's a member of the steering committee of the Coalition for Police Accountability. You have some concerns about this measure you want to get out here?
Yeah. It's been a long road, as Noelle said, and we're still a little shell-shocked. When we went into the discussion and spoke before they went into closed session on Friday, We didn't feel that the measure was being weakened, so I want to make that clear. It was not being weakened on Friday. What we asked for
Can I backtrack with you for just a moment? Because the Police Officers Association said a lot was done behind closed doors. Do you feel that way?
Definitely there's a lot done behind closed doors, and we don't have control over that.
So it's not a transparent process, as you said.
Of course not, and that's always a problem, and that's just— you know, part of government. That's part of how people work. They talk to each other, and sometimes we don't always get the straight story. I don't think there's anything nefarious in that, though. I think that's just having, you know, collegial discussions. Sometimes, though, we get a different version than what actually happened, and you're never really sure. But the reality is Friday we went in, not saying you've weakened it, but asking for it to be strengthened in a couple areas. And we felt that we did win more than what we had originally in June. However, we are concerned that the mayor was unwilling to compromise at all. When we compromised in so many issues, it was disturbing to me personally that our current mayor would say, well, you know, I want to stick to my number of appointments, and that's it, and that's as far as we go in negotiation. However, like I said, this, in terms of what policymaking, we do actually have policymaking ability coming with this. And that's very, very important. And as Noelle said, the other most important thing and the biggest change is with the CPRB, they would make a determination. It would go to the city administrator, who would often just ignore it. And this is no longer going to happen. This is going to be up to the investigator and then the commission.
So you've got a stronger measure in your view now.
Absolutely. It's a very important measure, but it doesn't mean it's the end of the road, the end of the story. It's just the beginning. We see this as the beginning of real community control of the police department. And some people may say, oh, it's a very weak beginning. It's actually not. I think this is a watershed moment in Oakland, and we think this is important. We do have concerns and complaints, though.
Well, one of the things I think you're on record as saying is you need elastic laws. What does that mean for you?
Well, elastic clause. So what we mean was that we had asked for a little more openness towards the scope of the issues that the commission would look at and make policy on. And we thought that we had an agreement on that, so we're still talking to council members about that. Because things come up that you don't know are going to come up. Technology changes. Things happen, and you have to be prepared to look at those, investigate, and actually make policy. For me, one of the biggest questions that no one has answered, and the state certainly hasn't answered this. You'll have to excuse me. I have a throat lozenge, so I get sort of coffee here, is that we have a wonderful thing that we did that over the last mayor, the police now have cameras, and that makes a difference. But then we have videos, and we don't know who they belong to and who gets to see them. And quite often we don't get to see them. This is a kind of issue that the commission should be able to look at, because the state is clearly not going to do anything about this. And we don't really know what the use of cameras is if we, as the public, don't get access to the videos. That's the kind of thing we'd like to see looked at.
And again, Pamela Drake is a member of the steering committee of the Coalition for Police Accountability. And Noel Gallo, again, is Oakland City Council member with District 5. And Councilmember Gallo, you brought up arbitration before, and I want to actually get back to that for a moment if we can, because I think the unions got arbitration off the ballot measure, didn't they? Well, I mean, Dan Kelb, I know, had pushed hard for arbitration reform, they got rid of subpoena power at least.
Well, you know, one is the issue is that, you know, we need to get this on the ballot today. So we have to take a city council vote, and we need the five members to support it.
You got to get the votes.
Okay, you got to have them. Otherwise, we're just talking. I'll be here next year, you know, bringing up another initiative, trying to do the same thing. So there was room for compromise. Certainly, when it comes to arbitration and all the other union issues, that we already have a contract for 3 years. You know, we will. The city council does have the authority to continue to renegotiate, you know, reestablish parameters, and so we will develop an ordinance. We pull that aside to be able to deal with all the union issues and contracts and not get in the way of going to the voters to approve a charter amendment to allow us to have a stronger citizens' oversight over our police department.
Didn't the city attorney propose gutting that charter amendment?
We're like on the 32 version since we started of the police commission review. So certainly the legal bees, right, they have other legal recommendations, and certainly we at the political elected body, then we have our citizens pushing. So what you have on tonight's city council agenda is a initiative through many recommendations, debates, disagreements, but at least I'm able to take it to the voter to really have a discussion about what is public safety in Oakland. But most of all, I think we talk about discipline. Discipline begins at home. I should not have the police officer discipline my children. And this is one of the things in Oakland we have done. We shut our doors, lock our doors, and we need to have to take greater accountability for my children.
Well, the police officers' association is saying you're disciplining us and you're using political authority.
You got to understand one thing. I am a taxpayer. I pay for their salaries. They're supposed to provide me a service, not the other way around. And so what you have from public works to the police department to other governmental, and you see it at the Democratic convention, I am the taxpayer paying for a service and not the other way around. And I think that's where it's been lost in Oakland, that, you know, people there, whether you carry a badge or you don't carry a badge, that, you know, I'm here to pay and I'm supposed to respond to you. But it's the other way around. And so I think this is certainly, I welcome it going to the voter, because that's what's going to generate in terms of what's missing on the streets, especially on the streets of East Oakland. And I need to be accountable for my behavior. Because half of us are driving around without a driver's license.
Going
through red lights.
Go back to Sonia Dirks on this, though. I mean, how much pressure is being put on this by the police association, by the union?
Well, the union has historically had a lot of power in Oakland. They've been involved in political campaigns. They've certainly influenced policy in the past. I think we're in a bit of a unique moment, though, because of the sexual abuse scandal that emerged this summer, which has really rocked the city to its core. I mean, the city is operating, the police department is now operating basically with the city administrator as its head, which is kind of a unique and almost unheard of situation in and of itself. So I think that, you know, the police commission has been something that, again, it's not new. It's been being crafted for years. But because of the timing of this scandal sort of revealing a level of dysfunction in OPD that would allow a lot of people to basically, you know, you said that the police union said, well, this is disciplining us. Well, there are those who say in the wake of the scandal, maybe the Oakland police do need to be disciplined, because obviously there is some level of dysfunction there. So I think that that's actually pushing back against the normal power that the police unions might have, that we've seen a level of kind of dysfunction and scandal that's really complicated and compromised Oakland Police Department.
And we're coming up on a break here. Pamela Drake, though, I want to get you on record about concern about who's making these appointments. Obviously, you have, don't you?
Yeah, well, of course. That's the question that we got from every single person. We had initially a petition for an initiative. We took the petition out around the city. We asked people that we didn't even know, would you sign this petition for a police commission? The first question you get asked is, who's making these appointments? There may be some folks in one organization in the hills in Oakland that feel that the mayor should have more appointments. But up, even including the Chamber of Commerce, who we presented before, every single person wanted to know, is this going to be political? So there is some concern about that.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of concern, not only in Oakland, about a civic police commission. I want to open our phone lines and get your response. Oakland City Council voting today on whether to put the establishment of a police oversight commission on the November ballot. Let's hear from you, our listeners. And in fact, we invite you to join the program now. Our toll-free number is available to you, and that number is 866-733-6786. We welcome your phone calls. Feel free to join us now, 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle's @KQEDForum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. We are focusing this hour on a proposal to create an independent police commission to oversee Oakland's police officers, and you may want to weigh in here. In fact, we invite you to do so. The measure comes in response, as you perhaps recall, to a number of scandals within the Oakland Police Department, the most recent being the handling of a sexual misconduct case involving several officers and the teenage daughter of a police dispatcher. And supporters say the proposed panel will have strong oversight powers, but some are arguing that last-minute changes made to the ballot measure have weakened the commission's independence. We're talking about the proposal, its likelihood of passing, and really also talking about proposals that have have more civic involvement and actually civic oversight with respect to police officers. This is what many have been certainly steering toward and wanting in Oakland for quite some time. We do welcome your involvement in the program. You can join us at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. You can also email any questions or comments you have to forum@kqed.org or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle's @KQED Forum. Sonia Dirks with us, KQED reporter who's been covering this story. Noel Gayo, Oakland City Commissioner, Council Member with District 5, and Pamela Drake, all of them in studio. Pamela Drake is a member of the Steering Committee of the Coalition for Police Accountability. Let me begin with a question from a listener named Mike who says, an oversight committee seems reasonable, but has an OPD been in de facto federal receivership for a while now? Okay, technically not receivership, but at least under additional scrutiny. That additional oversight seems to have been a mixed success at best. Is lack of oversight really the problem?
Well, I would like to say that the federal oversight is very important, and we do feel that it's a pretty bad tells you something when we find out all these underlying scandals and horrors that are going on.
Well, that goes back to 2003. Yes, a lot of listeners may not know. Police were planting evidence. I just wanted to...
Right. The Ryder scandal. Right. Yes. And we did feel, a number of us did feel that the police were making efforts and that we were moving forward under the last chief. Chief Wendt. And then when it was very disturbing to people to then find out that all this was actually still going on. But it was actually more disturbing that police on a regular basis in Oakland killed 7 people a year. And for the last couple of years, up until the previous summer, they hadn't killed anyone. Then they had a spate of killings. And somehow people have been more upset by the current scandal than the people actually dying. So it's a longstanding problem. It's a problem for law enforcement all over the country. But we know that eventually this negotiated settlement agreement will go away. And so we want to have this set up and begin to work. And we also believe that the judge is great. The oversight is great. We want the community engaged.
Well, there have been also 7 police chiefs in 7 years, we should mention. And that has irritated and concerned a lot of people. But let me bring our callers into this, and we'll begin with an Oakland caller named Ann. Ann, you're on.
Yes, thank you for this show. I really have a question for these folks in that just looking at what happened in this most recent scandal, which is not a sex scandal, it's a rape scandal, as far as I'm concerned. Libby Schaff knew about the problem. She knew about the scandal. And until it was reported by the East Bay Express, she had done nothing. So she didn't even act when she had the information. And now we're going to have a commission, and I do not blame the mayor for demanding to have people on the commission. I blame the city council for giving it to her. And the commission is going to limit its parameters. As near as I can tell, their parameters will no longer include the ability to look at how whistleblowers are treated within the department, which is a serious problem, and one that the mayor, one of her reactions to the scandal was to figure out who the whistleblower was.
So, let me take your comments, Anne, and first thank you for them, and turn them over to Councilmember Gayo here. I mean, there has been a lot of criticism of the mayor's role. There's even a recall effort that's going on. But essentially what I think Anne is suggesting here is what a lot of people have been critical of, council handing over too much power to the mayor.
Well, you know, I think that's to be debated. But certainly at the end of the day, the city council has full authority over the budget and to make this decision. But
Mayor Schaff says there are checks and balances, too.
There are checks and balance, but I agree. I mean, for me, this is citizens driven. But the reality is I need to get this. I need to vote tonight to get it on the ballot for November 8th. Otherwise, you and I can sit here and talk about, you know, who voted for what and be talking about it next year again. So for me, when it comes to public safety in Oakland is really serious. And at the end of the day, because when I got elected 3 years, we have the Citizens Police Review Board. They have some authority. They had the same responsibility, but they didn't even have an executive director. They didn't even have investigators. So as a citizen, they would come to this body and they couldn't even get a quorum. But then what choice did I have as a citizen? Then I have to go to the police review board. to file my complaint. And I think this is where, if you look at all those that filed complaints, what action the city took or the police review or the chief took, they were very, very small in number. Then at the other end, the city administrator overruled what the CPRB was recommending to begin with.
I wonder what you say to this, council member. Chris emails, the police commission is just more bureaucracy and overhead. Accountability and discipline must come from within. Yeah. We should change the department's focus from law enforcement to public safety like it used to be.
Yeah, I agree with that. But, you know, right now where we sit today, that, you know, this is the best vehicle that I recommend in terms of at least allow the citizens to have, you know, be able to have a place to go and file their complaints. But most of all, this commission will have authority to discipline the officers. At the same time, we can fire the chief if for due cause. And most of all, you know, that the commission has authority to make recommendation when it comes to public policy in Oakland to the city council. So it does have a lot more authority than we're, you know, mentioning. But I think right now where we sit today, this is the best vehicle that I have in front of me.
Well, I want to go to more of our callers. But first, let me get a response from you, Pamela Drake, to an email from a listener named Mike, who says, instead of picking on the police with a politicized commission supported by radical activists like Pamela Drake, what is the city council actually doing to improve police response times to citizens in need of help? If certain areas of Oakland are complaining about over-policing, I'd gladly take more police in my neighborhood.
Well, I'm not in charge of that, so. But thank you for the compliment. The last comment about like it used to be, I think, sounded more like make America great again. And our police department actually has a better reputation in recent years than it had many years ago. But now we're seeing there's some more underlying that.
But so isn't this, I'm just going to go to Sandy Dirks. This is one of the most, even with all the talk about watering down and diluting and all the rest, is this one of the more radical constitutional-based police commission proposals that we've seen come down the pike?
I wouldn't say radical. It's definitely, because that's a kind of a loaded word.
Well, somebody called Pamela radical. Yes. Maybe I picked up on that. Let's call it one of the more innovative that we've seen come down the pike.
It's definitely innovative. I mean, Oakland has always been at the cutting edge in terms of trying to being a testing ground for reforms. But, you know, given the fact that Oakland is one of the more unique police departments in the country because—
By the way, she considered radical a compliment.
Yes, I know.
Except it's a code word for right wing now, so I'll take it back. Progressive is the word.
you know, because Oakland is in such a unique position with the fact that it has a federal monitor and it's had it for so long, that it kind of makes sense that they would be doing something that was a little bit on the cutting edge is the right line. But this discussion about civilian oversight is happening across the country. So Oakland is always, and the Bay Area is always, on the cutting edge of these national discussions. So it makes sense that it's occurring here, that it's sort of, you know, a test version of something that's being talked about, because people are talking about policing and how we sort of change the culture of policing, how we address concerns over policing. And so this is, you know, this is the Oakland version of the experiment.
All right. I want to go to more of your calls. Pamela.
Can I jump in on that? Yeah. We do consider this a unique model. We did research all around the country. We talked to other commissions. We talked to organizations in charge of commissions. And that's the point of this, is to make this unique. That's what the selection panel did. And even with four appointments only to the selection panel, that's still a unique development. So we think this is cutting edge.
More of your calls in just a moment. I want to read a comment that's come in from Dan Kalb, Oakland City Council member, District 1, who was involved in the drafting. And he writes, we have a strong charter measure that will create not only a civilian police commission with real authority, but it also recreates a community police review agency that for the first time will have teeth to impose discipline. That's a big deal. It's also important to know that the city council will be drafting a companion ordinance this fall to put even more reforms in place, including the creation of a civilian inspector general reporting directly to the commission, and subpoena powers are in the measure in Section B. So thanks for that, Council Member Calvin. Let me get more callers on here. This is Raleigh from Oakland. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. My opinion is that the commission should be open to any member of the community, not limited to people in law enforcement. Otherwise, we don't really achieve anything. Law enforcement, individuals tend to stick together no matter what. And so to limit physicians, lawyers, and just members of the community in general accomplishes nothing. It becomes nothing more than rhetoric. It really should be open to any member of the community to serve on the commission.
Raleigh, thank you for the call. Let me go to Council Member Gaio.
No, you know, it is open to the residents of Oakland. You have to be in Oakland. But, you know, we are looking for someone with a background, whether it's an attorney, a legal background, a law enforcement background, but certainly it's open to anyone and everyone, and it's up to within that commission to be able to recommend those who they will serve. And at the end of the day, like I said, it's also the city council will approve. But we're looking for someone with experience that knows the legalities, but also knows Oakland and the needs of Oakland to serve on that commission. So it's not limited to a certain individual, but we did make it very clear that for you to serve, you cannot be a current city employee and you cannot be an Oakland police officer to serve on that commission. So we're making it very clear and opening that opportunity to all residents of Oakland.
We've had a lot of support from labor leaders and public safety advocates and policy watchdog activists, so I know a lot of those people would like to serve on this commission.
Right.
Pamela Drake, you want to say
something?
Yeah,
I think he got confused when Noel mentioned that some law enforcement could be on it. It's not for law enforcement. It's actually for the average citizen. They will get training, and most citizens who are interested in this would be qualified to be on it. We do have a difference with the city version. We did not want to see law enforcement from any jurisdiction, retired or not, because we do feel that they would dominate the commission. So that's a difference, and we'll see if that works. If that doesn't work, as we suspect it might not, we'll ask to go back to the table on that.
Well, that's another question that I'm going to direct to you, if I may, Pamela. This is from Karen, who writes, my husband has been on the Citizens Police Review Board for several years. He's not a political appointee, rather a person who serves because he is able to see the issues from both minority perspective as well as the police's. The city's review administration continues to overrule the review board's decisions against the police. There is a solid person, Anthony Finnell, in charge, and there are investigations. Why not strengthen what we already have?
And that's exactly what we're doing. He will remain, and so will the CPRB, as the agency reporting to the commission. So all we're doing is strengthening the whole process with a commission, and that CPRB body will remain to do the day-to-day work and report to the commission.
And we go to more of your calls. Let's bring Hugh in from Oakland. Hugh, you're on.
Hi. Just a clarification to a comment made earlier. All the commissions, there's lots of advisory commissions, of course, across Oakland, and I realize you're making this commission a little bit stronger, but they all have mayor and council appointees. But the reason I called was a lot of the activists, and I'm fine with the Police Oversight Commission, a lot of the activists concentrate almost exclusively on the bad things and often act like there's nothing going on in Oakland about community policing, when in fact there are, you know, meetings all across the city with in all parts of Oakland with officers. And so how do we recognize the good officers who are trying their best in this sea of negativity?
Sonia, can I go to you with this? Has there been any attempt or impetus that you know of to actually bring approbation to a lot of these police officers who are doing their job?
Well, you know, I mean, it's a complicated thing in Oakland, but there definitely are police officers, and I know some of them who are out there, you know, day to day protecting our city, taking calls, being out there and doing their job, and we need them to do it. So, you know, there's these sort of competing forces, and maybe there's been a lot of focus on the negativity because of the sex abuse scandal this summer. But before that, we were, you know, looking at a OPD under Sean Wendt that was being lauded by the Obama administration as a model of 21st century policing. So again, it's a paradoxical situation where you do have some serious kind of institutional and systemic flaws and problems, but you also have good cops out there on the street doing their job for the people of Oakland.
And I want to remind listeners, we're talking about Oakland City Council voting today, later today, on a police oversight measure, which would go on the November ballot. And you are welcome to join this conversation. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786, or email forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle's @KQED Forum. Go to a caller in San Jose next. Timothy, join us. You're on.
It seems that many people over the last few years are wondering about Alameda County because Oakland is an Alameda County. People in Santa Clara County, when they were trying to the traffic from Santa Clara County up toward Alameda County gets shut down because BART protesters shut down BART. BART protesters shut down the freeway. The people from this part of the Bay Area just give up trying to go up that way. So what does the district attorney do? She drops the cases and doesn't enforce the law. There needs to be a reform also of the district attorney's office and to change the culture of Alameda County's district attorney's office.
All right. I'll let that stand as an editorial comment, and I thank you for the call. And let me go back, Sandia Dierks, to you. There was, at first, getting back to the Police Officers Association, resistance saying this is in violation of the contract with the city. I think we have alluded to this a couple times. Where does that stand now?
Well, the big sort of sticking point was binding arbitration. And it wasn't just the police officers union that was opposed to doing away with binding arbitration. It was all the city unions. I mean, all of the city unions basically said, this is a slippery slope. You take away binding arbitration from one city union and we're out there hanging in the wind. But that was changed. It was actually sort of people like Pamela Drake, who met with unions, with other city unions, and sort of crafted a compromise. Again, this has been sort of fits and starts and people working together. So they got the unions on board, but not the police union. So at first it was about binding arbitration. That was then protected. And then their issues, you know, questioned the legality of whether or not you could have basically sort of civilian oversight in this way with this much power. And they kind of were arguing that they couldn't, but it looks like, again, there's sort of been this compromise eked out that still allows for activists to say it has teeth and the city attorney to say, yeah, but it's still legal.
Mm-hmm. Looking at a comment from Felicia who says, implement New York City's comp stat and hire a workaholic police chief. That's a suggestion, obviously. But Noel Gallo, let me go to you on this. What about research done on other cities? You mentioned a couple of you have mentioned that there was a good deal of that. Can you tell us?
Well, you know, actually, the citizens' body that recommended the initiative, they've been at this for 2-3 years visiting. And certainly, I spent a good deal in San Francisco taking a look at your police commission here and meeting with some of the commission members. I spent time in San Jose and certainly looked at other neighboring cities in terms. So what do they do in terms of a civilian oversight over law enforcement or the police department? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, you may want to address that because you have researched and had different attorney guest speakers come to Oakland and talk about it.
Well,
it's Pamela Drake.
And for instance, we looked at San Francisco mm-hmm. because some people said to us, well, the San Francisco Commission is not working that well. They've had their own problems. So that is why we made some changes. Particularly, one of the changes was the selection panel, which we still have for the majority. And the other was term limits. And so we're trying to make this less of a body of people who want to be, you know, politicians and people who take this task very seriously. But we, members of this group, and I wasn't part of that, went to conferences around the country, and they met with experts around the country. And so that's why we think we've taken this a couple different steps that will make it more effective. We have seen, for instance, in Chicago, where the mayor actually runs it, the commission, that it's been worse than ineffective. So there's a reason why we did some of these things. But in terms of the binding arbitration, we have now the support of the Alameda Labor Council and this particularly SEIU 10-1, and we're very grateful for that. But we're also glad that we raised the issue, and we think it's an issue that will be discussed further. And we also believe that having our independent attorney who's going to be investigating these cases will be able to then take them to arbitration and have a better outcome than we've had previously. And that's a big difference.
And again, Pamela Drake is a member of the steering committee of the Coalition for Police Accountability. I'm looking at a comment from Shandi who says, from riders to rapists, Oakland has needed a complete overhaul of its government and municipal services for at least the past 20 years. What do you say to that, Noel Gallo?
Well, you know, I have lived in Oakland all my life, raised 3 daughters and a son, and still live right in East Oakland. And I think there's some truth to that. But I think the only way you bring about change is it's got to start from the neighborhood. And certainly we've been negligent, or kind of we lock our doors and don't get involved, don't want to call in. And some of us can't even take care of the cleanliness in front of our own home. So we're relying on government to do everything for us. So I agree that we do need to bring about change. But I also agree that this is not a perfect tool, the police commission, but it's a lot better than what we have today. So for me, it's not so much just about change, but about making progress. And that's the difference. And you know, it's we need to get it to the voter. And I think the debate is not over. The disagreement is not over. But at least I bring it to your home for you to vote upon, give us your best advice. But most of all, we have to get engaged and involved, and just don't wait for someone else to come and take care of our neighborhood. And I think that's where Oakland has been, you know, kind of setting back for too long. And so I welcome the opportunity through our democracy to continue the discussion. This is not the end of this presentation on the police commission. I'm sure we'll be making other amendments, other changes, specifically when it comes to the established union contracts that we have today. So I'm in completely support on what's before us this Tuesday.
Now, you sound optimistic about it. I wonder, and again, Noel Gayo is the Oakland City Council member for District 5, what you think Sonia Dirks is going to occur today? Or lay it out for us.
Informal polls of council members suggest that that there is support for some version of what we're seeing and what we're talking about here today will pass through City Council and will be turned over ultimately to the voters.
Right.
Because, you know, this actually, it's such a reform that it entails a change to the city charter, which means the council can't just say, yeah, this looks good and send it forward. We actually have to have Oaklanders weigh in. And
you're going to have to educate the Oaklanders on this.
Well, and, you know, a lot of Oaklanders are pretty educated about this as well. This has been a real hot topic of debate. So it looks like November will be, you know, a big month for not just the country, but for Oakland as well and for OPD.
And can citizens become involved in this process? I'm talking about today particularly. To what degree?
It's
open to the public.
Come to the city council tonight.
We'll be there from 6 p.m. to 2 a.m.
All right. All three of us in completely different roles, press, activist, and politician.
Bring your no-dos. Here's Red, who writes, though it has been much maligned and corrupted over the years, the one piece that is missing from this conversation is our grand jury system. Originally, it was the institution intended to check the excesses of the state and serve as the voice of the community. A revitalized grand jury system comprised of laypersons from the community with complete independence from the offices of prosecutors and city attorneys, and with its full powers of investigation, the power to indict on its own initiative, is the natural place for civilian oversight and review of public agencies such as the police.
That's a county board, though. We're talking about the city, so we're
we'll do
different.
That one next.
I used to be a government teacher, so we'll have a discussion of jurisdictions. I do want to say, though, that this is not an anti-cop, pro-cop. This is a good government measure, and people who want good, engaged citizenry and transparency will vote for this.
The caller has a point, though. The grand jury system does loom in any discussion.
And gets ignored, too.
And does get it. Let me get another caller on here, though, and that's Claudia. You're on. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thank you. Yeah, I was thinking, why not, instead of giving a commission disciplinary power, why don't we just end the police exemption from ordinary criminal law? For example, if a police officer is guilty of using excessive force, he may or may not be disciplined within the department. Why isn't he or she found guilty of assault and battery? Because that's what's going on. That's a crime that has jail time associated with it. Or instead of finding a police officer guilty of causing harm through bias or racial profiling, find him or her guilty of committing a hate crime, which is what would apply to the civilian population. Or specifically in the case of these officers who killed a handcuffed prisoner because they didn't fasten his seatbelt in a moving vehicle, they were found not guilty because they hadn't violated police policy about seatbelting. Why should policy have anything to do with it? Why weren't they found guilty of negligent homicide, as I would be if my child died in a car because I didn't seatbelt him?
Claudia, you're raising a big issue. A lot of people have rallied around this whole idea that police need to be prosecuted to a much greater degree. They need to be found compliant with the law. Sandy Dirks?
Yeah. I mean, I think the issue that you're raising is one of accountability, and how we kind of nuance that out is complex, because obviously the laws are different for police officers. But one of the if we look at this question of accountability and we ask, how do we hold police accountable? It's a question that's been asked in Oakland since the Black Panthers asked about policing the police, you know, 50 years ago this coming October. But if we ask this question about accountability and we add in this other layer and we say, you know, who's going to hold them accountable? It's not just going to be other police officers. It's not just going to be internal affairs, but it's going to be a board of civilians. Then we're really kind of changing the way in which we look and frame the way in which we understand policing and who polices the police. And that's what this discussion is really about.
And how much is this commission going to cost taxpayers? A listener wants to know. Do we have a figure or even a ballpark figure?
Well, you know, we don't have that yet because we're still in debate in terms of how many and where and so forth. But I think the mayor has set aside $1 million on our current budget to be able to get the police commission started. And so we will have to, we take this very serious, and we want to make sure that it is responsive to the taxpayers in Oakland. And we certainly will have the authority to discipline, investigate. And if we need to fire the police chief, then we can.
Pamela Drake.
It'll cost less than the $30 million we spend on monitoring than the $70 million in lawsuits. And that money could actually be put to new police facilities, which is part of the bond coming up now.
Okay. Well, we will continue to watch this story. I want to thank all of you for participating in this morning's opening hour with us, letting listeners know and citizens know about what's coming up, likely to come up in November, and what's coming up tonight in Oakland. Thank you all. Sonia Dirks, reporter for KQED, Noel Gayo, Oakland City Council member, District 5, and Pamela Drake, member of the steering committee of the Coalition for Police Accountability. We're going to shift gears considerably, talk about grizzly bears. People want them back. Some people want them back. Some people want to stay away from them. We'll get into that debate in the hour ahead. Thank you for joining us for this hour, and remember, you can always let us know what you think about what you hear on Forum by emailing us, forum@kqed.org. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, Tina Larberg, and Jeremy Siegel. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai. Senior editor is Dan Zoll, and our general manager is Joanne Wallace. For all of us at KQED, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.